For December the 12th, 2014, we talk about the Video Game Awards, Crossy Road, and we ask you which in-game objects you would most like to own in real life. Welcome to the 86th level. My name is Cole Rouse.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Meismith.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. And thank you, my co-host, for joining me on this late evening here.
Hey, no problem.
I told you to cool it with the A's. We got into a... Our standard is, hello.
Nope. Not with company. Not with company.
You know, I shouldn't be able to. I shouldn't force it, but I should be able to. You know, like just break glass in case of emergency.
Podcast with an iron fist.
God like, damn
David,
it!
David gets mysteriously dropped from the call. Okay, let's try this again. Hello.
You guys know the magic word to just make the call end. Oh, can I lead with some promotion, you guys?
Sure.
Yeah.
So everybody listening has probably heard on one of our shows us talk about the Amazon links at duckfeed.tv/tipjar. I want to lead with that here because the Christmas time is a time when that ends up being used, and I want people to know about it as a possible way to support the network. It's just duckfeed.tv/tipjar. There are those links that take you to either the United States. Britain, I believe, is United Kingdom. There we go. There are seven possible ways to say that, and I always say the wrong one. So I am so sorry, my friends across the lake there.
Well, are you talking about Britain?
Yes. No, it's Britain, United Kingdom, England. Like it's the one, you know, the blue flag with the red stripes.
Right.
Canada, and you click that link. It doesn't cost you anything extra. That is an affiliate thing. Like it's a little, and I want to make sure that's there, but, we do get like a kickback from that. That, goes a long way towards helping, cover things. So
are you saying that Canada is different than Britain?
Yes. Although they do worship the queen, but that's probably not the right verb for that. Yeah.
Wait, you mean noun? No. What? Oh, never mind.
You're a math guy, not a vocab guy.
You know, verb's a noun the world around, okay?
Yep.
Yeah. So, or no, noun's a verb. Oh, boy, guys. I think this is the quickest we've gone off the rail. I shouldn't lead with promotion.
This is wrong.
Still, the script.
I'm so stuck on the whole links thing. I mean, how much does one of those things eat?
Couple of steaks. I just let mine out around the neighborhood. I live next to a school, though. So,
yeah. Oh, while we're promoting things, we're coming up on Toady season.
Toady.
Toady. Yes. Title of the year. So I need. We can figure this out live on the air because that's interesting. I need to find a cutoff point for what episode titles to include, and we'll do a big voting. We could either nominate one and have people vote on it, or we could just post them all and let people vote on like their top five favorite or something like that. But look for a link on our Facebook page and other Duckfeed affiliated regions where you can vote on the title of the year for the level.
Yeah. Let's say every title up through up to but not including this one, because I don't want to pollute the results.
Okay. Yeah, good.
And I don't want that kind of pressure on this. I'm fine putting like past work on a pedestal, but like I don't want to make something with the expectation that it'll be good.
And all the titles that come out this time of year are just patronizing and pandering for a toady anyway.
Oh, so. Yeah. It's real. You know, I think that the title industry is broken. I think that a hard rain's going to come. Yeah. Okay.
We're going to be the Dragon Age Inquisition of toadies.
Yeah. I like how you just spring these things on me, and then all of a sudden I can see us just like, okay, well, I guess we'll use SurveyMonkey. I don't know.
Yeah, I got this one in the bag. I'm like the SurveyMonkey master here.
Hey, you know, we've been using that for the WAF polls too.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that is incredibly one-sided, but I don't want to say which one it's one-sided towards.
I'm not nearly familiar enough with any of them to be able to.
Yeah.
Inference anything from that, but I digress.
Anybody done anything cool this past week?
I did something cool, but it'll be for the brief.
Oh, okay.
Well, oh, please tell me you went to the PlayStation Experience.
Nope. I think it cost 45 for a one-day pass, so that was enough for me to say no. However, to make up for that, I went to the Game Awards the night before on Friday.
Holy shit. Awesome.
Well, 1 second. Let me put the sound
in. Do the title. Yeah.
The brief. Okay. Yeah. So the brief where we talk about news and stuff. Wow. We had a man on the scene. I'm actually surprised, even though you texted me about it. And my response was,
mentioned it seconds ago before. Yeah.
My response was neat.
Yeah.
Very jealous. Neat. Man, how was it?
It was as good as an award show about video games can be, which is, it was okay. It opened with a bang. Kiefer Sutherland opened the show.
Yeah.
Since he is the new voice for Snake, it was kind of upsetting because it's not David Hayter, but oh well, not a big deal, I guess.
I still think that proves that Jack Bauer is Snake.
It kind of gets in the way, right? Because it sounds like Jack Bauer. It does not sound like Snake. So it takes a little bit of getting used to. But anyway, I digress. It was a lot of fun, though. Trey Parker was there. He accepted an award for best performance for an actor in a game for South Park. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, Dragon Age Inquisition won Best Game of the Year.
Ooh.
And Shovel Knight won Best Indie Game of the Year, according to the Game Awards. So that was interesting. There were some live music performances that were pretty interesting. The band 65 Seconds of Static played, and they're doing the soundtrack for No Man's Sky.
And did they play at the Game Awards or at the PlayStation Experience? Because I know they played at the PlayStation Experience.
They also played at the Game Awards then, too.
I watched the stream of their No Man's Sky demo and really, really liked them.
Yeah, they play well live. I had not heard about them before this weekend, so that was fun. So, yeah. And then on top of that, there were a whole bunch of new games announced, both at that thing and at the PlayStation convention. So that is my brief story.
Yeah.
So I just want to run through the list of different things that were announced or extended trailers were shown for.
Yeah, I'm done.
So is that okay if I just do a kind of rapid fire thing?
Yeah, go.
All right. So there was a game called The Forest for PlayStation that looked interesting. There's a game called Adrift, which is basically like Gravity, but in video game form. There's a new game from the people who made Gone Home. There's a new Zelda game. There's going to be a new Star Fox game. There's new Metal Gear footage with the multiplayer shown. There's a new game called Tearaway Unfolded by the people who made Little Big Planet. There is an extended gameplay trailer for Bloodborne. There is footage for the new Uncharted game. And there's stuff shown for new No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
The
Uncharted trailer is the one that got kind of the most press over the weekend, I think.
Okay. Was it I haven't seen a trailer. I saw the gameplay demo, though.
I saw the whip demo where
I did not see that.
It's the one where at the end Troy Baker comes out and like, yo, bro, I'm your bro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. I saw that one. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that we all knew it had to happen at some point, and I'm just glad it happened in Uncharted versus somewhere else.
It happened in fucking, oh gosh, what's that one? End of the World. It's you're my daughter, but kind of not.
Last of Us.
Yeah, The Last of Us. Yeah, Nolan North voiced the villain in that.
Yes. Oh shit, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's happened.
Yeah. That's right.
Nothing new under the sky.
That's a really good character for him. I always forget that was that guy.
He's incredibly talented.
he's a good guy. He was in the documentary I Know That Voice, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It's called.
Yeah, we've watched that several times at work.
Yeah, which is a lot of fun. But he's in there and kind of jokes about doing, you know, frag out. That's one of my most famous lines. So good stuff.
Yeah. Huh. So in the room, what seemed to make the biggest impression, do you think?
I mean, I was excited about seeing the new Zelda footage because that was completely off my radar. That was kind of cool. The Metal Gear multiplayer actually looked pretty cool. And Kojima was there, too. So he gave a speech, which was pretty cool. I don't know. I thought Adrift was interesting. That was something I'd never heard of before. Just being like a space game where you're pretty much stranded. It's exactly the same plot as Gravity. but in video game form. So, I mean, I really like that setting as far as movies. So that could be a cool game. I don't know. The fans were pretty rowdy in general. Like, it's the only show I've seen where there is a dialogue between the people in the crowd and the people giving the presentation.
They're just shouting.
Like a little more loosey.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like it's like a concert setting where it's like a pit. There's a pit where people can stand. We were in seats like behind that, but yeah, they're pretty rowdy.
So how was the community feel? Did people, you know, did you like strike up any conversations with strangers, or was it just everyone goes and sits next to each other and doesn't talk?
It wasn't really set up to talk to your neighbor. I mean, it was definitely like presentation format. So, I mean, everything was like dark and your attention was, you know, towards the front. So, yeah, it wasn't really set up for talking to the person next to you, I think. Yeah.
So was there as much like, so is this separate and distinct from the VGAs?
So this is what the VGAs has become.
Oh, disappointing.
Yeah, was, so apparently the VGAs like sucked last year, which I didn't really follow it last year. But I guess I don't know if they like canceled it or what, or if this is like a resurrected version of it.
That's a, I would call that a rebrand.
I think Spike stopped sponsoring it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was it was sponsored by like Twitch and Steam this year.
I'd rather have that be the case.
Yeah, there was a lot less Sam Jackson in it, so.
I just
take that as you will.
Yeah, like there was a room in the cover surrounding it. There was a lot less groaning about Jack Black. So I saw that as like a net positive for it. Not that I dislike Jack Black on the whole, but David, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, cool. It's just been a while. I was worried that we dropped you. No, but just that it was less of a.
I was worried that I'd accidentally dropped you.
Accidents can happen, David. All right.
Yes, they can. It just seemed like there was less of the VGAs trying to be the VMAs, you know, okay. Like around it. Like, hey, we're MTV and we're edgy and we're talking to, you know, Dorito huffing Mountain Dew jockeys, like.
They did have a DJ that would play like 8-bit music during the commercial breaks, but that was the only kind of drawback. But
okay.
Everything else was pretty fine about it.
Huh,
I was happy to see Trey Parker there. That was cool.
Yeah,
but
you're a big fan of them, and you liked that game too.
Yeah,
yeah.
And as a little exciting cap off to this, one of the things I got for going to it is I have a free game download for Lara Croft and the Temple of Osiris, the game on Steam. So I was going to give this out to one of the fans.
Oh, yeah.
So
nice.
How about this? Listen to the end and we will tell you how to get this code.
All right.
Yeah. I don't want us to come up with some way like right on the spot. And I'd rather reward people for listening to the end or skipping forward to the end.
I was just gonna skip forward. We should say that we'll randomly say it sometime between now and the end.
Yeah.
But then really just put it at the end.
Yeah,
at the just very cut that part out.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Were there any of their award decisions that kind of upset you? Or were just kind of like, oh, that doesn't make any sense?
There just seemed to be like, well, I mean, Dragon Age Inquisition, I was surprised that anybody had beaten the game, so I was surprised that they could weigh in on that one.
Yeah.
But, it was more just like with the indie games, it seemed like there were a lot of good ones, so it was kind of hard to say. It seems like any one they picked was going to be a tough decision to say that it was better than the others, but...
Mm-hmm. Although I feel like from a story standpoint, in terms of like the story of the game and success and stuff like that, Shovel Knight's got a lot going for it.
It's a real it's a Cinderella story,
right? Exactly.
Yeah,
but yeah,
I feel like it would be hard not to give it to Shovel Knight.
The one group of people I felt bad for that night was video game programmers, because every acceptance speech was, we really want to thank the families of all the people who programmed on this. We're sorry that they were staying so long.
Yeah. I'm looking at this right now, and at the indie category, Broken Age, Monument Valley, Shovel Knight, Transistor, and The Vanishing of Ethan Carter.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good spread, although I could really see it being a toss-up between Monument Valley, Shovel Knight, and Transistor. I'm happy Shovel Knight won, but like those seem to be the going, like, oh, this game is an obvious choice.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this has been a really great year for games.
It has. It's we're in a golden age.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you for going and for reporting back to that.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. Let's see here. Dennis, do you have a story?
Yeah, I guess it's a small one. It's a short one, and it's a visual one. So probably not best for a podcast, but what the hell?
hasn't stopped us before?
No, it hasn't stopped us before at all. Basically, as part of the goings-on with the PlayStation experience over the weekend, Naughty Dog showed a picture of Uncharted 4 Nathan Drake versus Uncharted 3 Nathan Drake. So I'll drop this in the robot for you guys. But basically, you know, Uncharted 3 is the Nathan Drake that we've come to know and love. And Nathan Drake Uncharted 4 is just a picture of Nathan Fillion. So I'm not, like... It's crazy how good it looks. And it's one of those things where I think my attitude going into this generation is like, you know, the graphical jump between 3 and 4 or, you know, whatever, if you're on Xbox, you know, it's just not going to be as great as the graphical jump between 2 and 3. Like we've kind of hit a point of diminishing returns and it can only look so much. Oh my God, it's Nathan Fillion in the flesh. So it looks super, super good. And if this is actually the difference that we're going to see versus, you know, just, you know, marketing, they did it for a screenshot, but it won't look that good in real life, yeah. Which is almost always the case. But if this is really what the next gen consoles can do, and if we'll eventually get to this point, I could see considering the graphical jump between 3 and 4 being equal to the graphical jump between 2 and 3.
Yeah, the definition on his receding hairline is amazing.
Okay, I wasn't the only one.
Well, yeah, he's not aging well, and I kind of appreciate that you know,
how many times has he been shot so far? Yeah.
Murdering that many people takes a toll on a man. Yeah. Notice he's also staring. Things. He's staring off into the middle distance.
Yeah. Well, I just love that by comparison, Drake 3's eyes look so dramatic.
he looks like he's wearing stage makeup, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So everyone, look at the show notes, I guess.
Yeah.
To see this. Sorry for bringing a visual, but that was the thing that popped me. I wanted to talk about it.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because the changes are, like, you know, in effect, really subtle.
And but they add up to something really big.
Yeah. And I'm curious, like, how much the state of online video compression is hurting the marketability of these games.
That's a great question.
Because like H.264 is a miracle codec, and that's what the majority of the of internet video runs on, but it takes out a lot of the detail that you're going to see, you know, like in a Blu-ray or, you know, even 1080p quality image, right? So a still image like this looks really good because they can kind of control the compression on it without making it massive. But like to show, you know, some of the stuff that I've seen on, you know, like even just Grand Theft Auto in full resolution would be just massive. You know, just the amount of file size on that. And I'm wondering how many people saying like, oh, these new, you know, it's nice that there are new consoles or whatever, but really we've hit the most detail that there's going to be. Well, actually, no, there's a case to be made for these fine details, making like close-ups more bearable. So maybe people will use them more and that can unlock more cinematic storytelling, right? Because we can actually get up in somebody's face without it being a fucked up Bethesda monster, you know? So yeah, just it's weird that in such a video saturated market, screenshots might be the next best thing to the real thing. But then you lose the motion and the animation and like how much of that hair moves.
Yeah, whereas before it didn't. I was going to say, actually, for me, I kind of tend to fall in the camp of I don't think graphics are getting that much better or need to, but I feel like what needs to get better is, you know, animation, facial expressions, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be a mix of both. I guess the big thing for me was I kind of had the attitude that I won't be impressed by graphics ever again, and that's very much not the case.
So you are not entirely jaded and dead on the inside.
I know, right?
People who fired up the NES probably said this is the best as it's ever going to get. right? Yeah. And, you know, odds are
pretty they significant were right. segment of Reddit stories.
Yeah, well, they're fucked in the head. No, but I mean, it's like, oh, it can't get any better. Or it doesn't need to get any better. And I think that is probably like a progress stifling point of view. Mm-hmm. Like, that shouldn't be the sole criteria. But to say that there's no ground being covered is, I think a specious claim at best and intellectually dishonest at worst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really think what a lot of it comes down to is how you use, kind of what you hit on, how you use any graphical advances you get on. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like that's, you know, yeah, you can do a crisis thing, but, it, you know, at least as far as I've been able to see, crisis kind of just a big dumb shooter.
It's storytelling. It's the jump from Mass Effect 1 to Mass Effect 2. Mass Effect 1,
right, exactly.
You have, like, you know, one-up, over-the-shoulder shots of people talking because that's what they could rig. Mass Effect 2, you all of a sudden you have somebody, like, looking out a window while they're talking. Different framing, cuts, you know, dramatic, you know, that didn't make any sense. You have dramatic cuts, dramatic shots, like actual cinematic storytelling, which is a legit advancement because they have something good-looking to put that camera on. Same thing with, mm-hmm. you know, Dragon Age 1 to Dragon Age 2. And honestly, that's one of the things I'm most excited about with Dragon Age Inquisition, is to really see them bring that force to bear.
Hills, yeah. And this is early in the console life cycle, yeah. Right?
Yeah. There's an argument to be made that, like, the transition period has been way too long. You know, just the, you know, we're even seeing that with, like, Dark Souls, right? Like, let's just bide our time and put out as much last generation stuff as we can in a high definition remake to line our coffers as we try and figure out what the hell to even do with this stuff.
Although, do you think, I feel like definitely in terms of, like, quality next gen games, it's been good, or it's been slow rather. But in terms of, like, actual uptake on the on, like, the new technology, it, you know, I can't cite anything, like, definite, but I remember things being real slow on the PS3 in terms of, you know, people using the new power they had and stuff like that. Do you really think this time's slower?
PS3 had an awful lot going against it because of the cell architecture.
Oh yeah, it was a dumb idea,
right? Like, just so many. Like, look at anything that came out between 2007. I would say even like 2010. Like, it was really, really rough, especially for anything that was multi-con. Like, you know, that was not universal. What is it?
Multi-platform.
Yeah, multi-platform, non-exclusive. Right, like exclusive devs, they got it, but anybody else, there was a learning curve, and it was really slow for that. And, you know, compare that with the 360 and the Wii, which was PowerPC, which is a little bit more, you know, understood. Like, that's been around for a while. Nowadays, there's really no excuse because it's just x86. Everything is, like, off-the-shelf Intel parts.
As much as x86 is freaking backwards to work with.
But it's the standard, and it's what everybody knows. Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't mean to hijack that conversation about these screenshots.
I thought it would make for good conversation, and it did.
As the person who is most excited about Uncharted in general, Dennis, like, are you bullish on this? Are you reserved on how Uncharted 4 looks?
What I saw of the demo makes me very hopeful for the gameplay, and anything will be better than the story of Uncharted 3. So.
Say, Neil Druckmann's directing it, so it should be fun.
Cool.
Can you, for anybody who doesn't know, who is Neil Druckmann and what has he done before?
He did Uncharted 2 and he did The Last of Us. The last two good games by Naughty Dog. He also gave an award at the Game Awards too.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. So it wasn't like Scarlett Johansson getting up there. Yeah.
I thought it was funny though. Kiefer Sutherland introduced someone who introduced someone else.
Yeah, and there was also like a joke about there being celebrities there who don't give a crap about video games. Yeah. But there were only two celebrities there, so it's like, you shouldn't say that.
And now for a man who needs two introductions. Oh man, my favorite was Joel McHale last year or the year before, something like that. Just in the pre and post show, just opening fire on game fans.
Yep, that's how you host the video game awards show. Yep,
it was pretty good. David, you got a story?
Sure. So it's come out after the, you know, there's the minor kerfluffle about the next Tomb Raider game being a timed exclusive for Xbox. But apparently now it came out this week that the next Street Fighter game is not coming out on Xbox One at all. It's going to be a PlayStation exclusive.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
PlayStation so, and PC.
Yes, PlayStation, PC.
Yep.
So, that's just kind of interesting. But the other interesting thing, though, is that... since then, there, you know, was a lot of, you know, rabble, 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 and the apparently top Xbox boss has come out and said that they love the idea of game franchise bartering and they're working on making amends for Street Fighter. So. I don't know. I foresee this becoming, like, I really hate the idea of exclusives, particularly when it's not so much we're going to make a new property so much as we're going to pay people to deny other people the property.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole, we don't, you know, it's a lot easier, rather than making our product better, let's just pay to make the other product worse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I do not love the idea of game franchise bartering, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, the Xbox head, Phil Spencer, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Seemed pretty magnanimous in the quote that I saw. Just like, it pretty much amounted to, well, it's the way she goes. It's what the business
is. Yeah, actually, yeah, that is true. I mean, they basically said, yeah, that's just business, that's the way it works.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can't hate the game if you play it, right?
It's not literally. So much, it's more just in general, it seems like there's, maybe it's just me, but I'm seeing more and more of this sort of thing where you know, there's always been, you know, competition for exclusives in terms of, you know, like, you know, not the Naughty Dogs and the you know, Halos and stuff like that, but it seems like I'm seeing more and more where it's, you know, we're going to pay to, you know, delay launch on the other system, or, you know, we're going to buy up this thing to deny it to the other people. And I don't know, that just doesn't seem like a good thing to me.
Yeah. At the way games are developed right now, doesn't that just mean that the system that gets it first kind of gets it through open beta, and then the system that gets it second gets the final product?
I think it depends. I mean, that's probably going to be the way, for example, Tomb Raider plays out. But on the other hand, I mean, you know, there's things like, you know, you're still not going to play, for example, Halo anywhere else. Although, I mean, that's one that's semi-in-house. So.
That's like a legacy thing, though. That was pretty much grandfathered in. And the second that Bungie got away from that IP, they blew it out and made a 10-year plan. You know.
Yeah, what I think is interesting,
they sold themselves out of that situation.
I think it's interesting the way that Insomniac is kind of whiplashed around, because all their successful games were PlayStation exclusives. They did one multi-platform release in Fuse, and it flopped big time. Mm-hmm. And now they're overdoing an Xbox exclusive in Sunset Overdrive. And it's just like, do you guys want to be doing that? Did you like have to take that deal, or what? Like, I just, as a studio, I would avoid that like the plague, because I think, Cole, you've said before on the show, like, you never want to do stuff that other people aren't going to see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want as many people as possible to see your work. Bono taught us that. and so it's just weird that they would jump around like that.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, if I was developing this stuff, huzzah, I just got paid a bunch of money to maybe do less work.
Sure.
B, I would probably chafe a little bit, the part of me that was not, you know, bathing in pennies, at the idea of, you know, my studio's output being this weird political tool, you know? Like, yeah. I don't want somebody holding something I made up and going neener, 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 but that's probably why I will never be rich or successful. So,
well, as long as you're thinking about bathing in pennies, you won't. You got to dream big. Think
dimes.
Dimes at least.
Or Sacagawea dollars.
Now you're talking.
Yeah. The angle of this that kind of excites and interests me a little bit is, who would have thought in 2014 that a fighting game would be desirable enough that a publisher or a console developer would pay money to keep it all to themselves?
Yeah, that is interesting.
I have to, you know, like, I have to wonder if, like, the Twitch and Evo set has made that, like, all of a sudden an audience that they're really, really anticipating, you know, that they really want to gain the loyalty of, right?
Yeah, it's hard for me to tell on stuff like this. It certainly seems like that sort of thing's picking up, although I don't know if it's just, blue car syndrome on my part.
You sound like you were going to say something, but...
No, I was thinking of blue car on fire syndrome, but that's about it.
Yeah, me too. That was last year, though. That can't be a toady.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is... It's an interesting development, to say the least.
Does it seem to anyone else like Street Fighter and some of the main fighting games are a little bit getting into the kind of the Madden mode, where it's we're just going to make a game every year because people will buy it regardless of if we actually need to change anything?
I think they're worse because they don't even do a full new game. They just do like additions.
With Street Fighter?
Yeah, like Street Fighter 4 Ultra Championship Edition arcade version.
It's not even marketing it properly or dressing it up.
Well, I guess maybe I'm kind of almost thinking the other way, which is it seems like you could just do additions, and I don't see why you need Street Fighter 5 when you could just, you know, make the update, you know, make the patch, make the expansion for Street Fighter 4.
I can see a case for that, though. Go ahead, Ben.
I was going to say, I don't know any game franchise that has made a commitment to release a game every so often. I've never seen that, like, increase quality in games, you know? Like, it seems to only sacrifice quality.
It's the Ubisoft problem, right?
Yeah.
I think that Street Fighter V is necessary, though, specifically because fighting game fans are so fanatical about the smallest details, and even those ultra packs, and they've been doing this for years and years and years. Look how many editions of Street Fighter II came out. Mm-hmm. I think that putting out a new numbered version of Street Fighter is the only way that they're going to get kind of permission to innovate. Right.
Sure. Well, like, and I'd say also maybe, and again, this is not like a genre of gaming that I can play because I suck at them. So I mean, it's not what I understand. But I also wonder if there's something to be saying for something that's so tournament and, you know, competition focused. If maybe, you know, establishing, you know, this is the new one. You know, kind of like how, a lot of times competitions will periodically come out with, you know, their 2.0 rules. So that's now this is, you know, this is what everyone's going to follow now. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's almost all about the meta at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's what makes fighting, that's kind of what makes fighting games fighting games.
Yeah. It defines that. Defines that genre, and more importantly, the group of people who play games in that genre.
And it's funny because watching that trailer, I was like, you know, and they were showing some of the new characters, or not, you know, same characters as before, but showing some of the fights. And I was like, I bet you there's a million, like, oh shit, they changed XYZ things that are just going right over my head right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so,
yeah.
I was like, oh, fighting. Yeah. But I'm
it's
sure
it's gotten really awesome looking, though.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to finish this out with my story, if that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you remember last week I was raving about an iOS game called 80 Days.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I still wholeheartedly recommend this, and it's going to be easier to recommend to people because here in a couple weeks, actually, on December the 16th, it's going to be coming to Android as well. Yeah. Woo-hoo. Yeah, I believe Android, and also along with that, the Amazon Kindle Fire, whatever their thing is. If you'll remember, this is that kind of Oregon Trail-esque storytelling-based game, which is kind of a takeoff on Jules Verne's Around the World in 80 Days. I told my story about my long-lost love of a Mongolian princess.
And your rug, right?
Her ceremonial rug, which ultimately reunited us in the end. Yeah,
really so. Tied the relationship together.
that's pretty much just got to be a hard stop, right? like where do we go from that? Like
oh my god, for the show, not just the episode.
Yeah, no, like Ali, oop.
Remember when we peaked?
Yeah, right there. So few people can say at 9:59 p.m. on Tuesday, December the 9th, 2014. Look upon our works, ye mighty, in despair.
Oh my god.
Anyway. Anyway. I wholeheartedly recommend it. Also on that day, the iOS version is getting an update, adding a route through the Arctic. Which I'm pretty excited to try. I need to dip back in and try. I still haven't taken the south route. I've mostly just done the Middle East and India and the northern route through Russia and Mongolia, so that'll be pretty good. Interestingly and flatteringly, I tweeted about this here earlier this week, and I was like, hey, for everybody who's jealous about that, you'll be able to check it out. And the creator of the game responded back. Her name is Meg Jayanth, and I'm so sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, saying, oh yeah, thank you so much for talking about it on your show. And also said, like, told me the name of the person responsible for that Mongolian princess storyline. So she listened to our stupid bullshit. Here's the thing, and for that I'm eternally grateful. So,
it's a small world, man. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm very happy about that. It is a fantastic game. I don't know, might be goatee. If we do that, it's high up there in the ratings. Yeah, super good. Dennis, you're in a position. Why haven't you downloaded this and played it?
I've downloaded it. I have not played.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
All right.
Multiplayer.
It is now time for the multiplayer section, which is our listener participation, such and such. Dennis, what is the question that we asked of our listeners?
Yeah, I asked if there's one object, it'll be a weapon, a vehicle, outfit, you know, whatever, but an object from a game world that you could have in real life, what would it be?
Yeah, and boy, oh boy, did you all come out in force.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to do like we do whenever things get too popular. We're going to kind of rapid fire through them and then do like a little bit of a commentary at the end. So don't feel like we're giving you a short shrift. We just have a finite amount of time to do this.
Yep.
Okay, cool. So Dennis, why don't you take us with the first one?
Yeah, kicking us off. Sean Wagner says, I would love to have a Pip-Boy 3000 with VATS and all. It would do wonders for me in the office. As a contemporary choice, I could also go for a long-dead elf that co-inhabits my flesh suit, being essentially immortal and having the ability to mind control. Sign me up. I believe that's Shadow of Mordor, right?
Yes, that is Shadow of Mordor. Also, I don't know if that counts as an object. I think it counts as an affliction.
Let's say. Is it animal, mineral, or affliction?
Animal, mineral, or invasive soul. Let's see here. Ben, what's David say?
David says, I would pick the portal gun. So many possibilities to be had. Whether you just leave the portal open at your friend's house, use it to break into a secured area, or just falling for a couple hours. However, since I can only pick on one item without the long fall boots, I would certainly die. But man, what a death. I was going to bring that point up until he brought it up. So yeah.
Also, isn't it implied that the portal gun is highly unstable and there are people who get like cut in half and shit?
I don't know. When did they imply that?
It's in the
fiction. Pretty much anytime Gladys says anything.
Yeah, but to have the ability to walk through your wall and into your friend Bobby's house to play Legos.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Yeah. To make Bobby fall infinitely until he figures out what he did.
Oh, I'd just be worried that, you know, the game seems to imply that once you get a portal gun, it becomes impossible for you to actually open a door.
Mm. David, what's Sam say?
Sam says, Nero's Devilbringer from Devil May Cry 4, which is a stretchy magical Satan arm, because sometimes I'm drunk and don't feel like standing up to grab something 5 feet away. I feel like I'm just going to throw this out. I don't know, our viewers allowed doing episode names? Because I feel like stretchy magical Satan arm is pretty good.
But I don't know. We're kind of off the charts here because this title doesn't count for toadies.
That's true. But no, I'm just imagining this some like sitcom husband sitting on his couch, you know, wife, how am I gonna watch TV without my stretchy magical Satan arm?
Well, was it that Treehouse of Horror, The Simpsons, where they got the pods from the fly? And Homer was using it to reach beer in the fridge, except he didn't see that he grabbed a can of the cat's ear medicine.
Oh, no.
And took a big old drink of that. Yeah.
That is horrific.
I know, right?
They're not necessarily in a treehouse.
Ooh. Well, I mean, the TV and the beer were in the treehouse.
Ah.
Yeah. Franz says, I'm not sure if it counts as an object, but I'd pick the blink rune from Dishonored. No contest. If that doesn't count, man, I like how people think we're going to be sticklers on the rules here. If that doesn't count, then I would pick the cloud from Enslaved. If you haven't played it or don't remember that game, it's basically a circular hoverboard that moves at an incredible speed and folds down to almost nothing. Transportation. It's the one area where video games are way ahead of real life.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Let's see here. Dennis, what's Murph say?
He says, the shoe from World 5-3 of Mario 3. Stylish, snug, and the ability to walk on people's mouths.
Yeah.
It's got to be like five times a day that I think, man, I wish I could walk on that person's mouth.
Man, all these people in this room talking.
I might have a fetish. Is that what a fetish
You are
is?
A married man, Dennis.
Ben, what's Noah say?
Noah says, this may be a bit of a deep cut, but I'm coming back to the instruments of sirens from Link's Awakening. I remember on the original B&W Game Boy climbing up to Mount Tamaranch to the wind fish's egg every time I got a new instrument, or if I was just stuck on a dungeon and needed inspiration. The Ballad of Windfish and all of its tinny glory still gives me chills to this game. To this day. Excuse me.
Yeah. I love that game so much. I need to go back and dip into it. Link's Awakening, man.
Mm-hmm.
David, what's Omega Moose say?
The Omega Moose says, pretty much any ship from any space sim would work, though preferably something like the ship from No Man's Sky or something from Eve, just because they have the ability to go FTL, go warp, or, well, never get home. I don't know. The Eve ships always kind of creeped me out because, like in setting, your character is just supposed to be this like person, like matrix-ized in this magical techno placenta, just like floating in the ship. So that just always really bothered me.
Yeah, I know nothing about the lore of that game. So
it's weird because, you know, it's everyone knows it as like spreadsheets in space and like, you know, goon fleet trolling people, but there's actually like every expansion they basically publish a novella that is like of, you know, everything that's happened in the lore since the past patch. It's really, there's actually a lot of lore there. I can see FTLing. I wonder, could you jump to work, or is it only long range?
I imagine that would probably not reach the economy of scale that they would need. I think they would. It would effectively only have to be long range.
Okay.
The margin of error probably, like the distance between you and work, is probably less than the margin of error for where it would jump to. So there's a non-zero chance that you would end up further away.
Okay.
Yeah. This is just me making suppositions. Another David 3, writes in saying, Zone of the Enders orbital frame. Having a big robot suit is always a plus. Getting around in a mech where the cockpit is in such an approximate position for the name is a perk. If you're not aware, the cockpits there are literally big dangling ding-dongs that rest off the front of the crotch. Yes. Hmm. Yes, big dangling ding dongs is going to be the other title here.
Cole, what is your answer?
My answer?
Yeah.
So it's going to have to be a toss up. I see one later that was going to be mine. I love grappling hooks so much that I would even go so far as to say like maybe the Spider-Man web slingers from Spider-Man 2 or Batman. You know,
okay,
like something like that. But the hookshot makes a pretty convincing case. But since that has already been claimed, I'm going to go ahead and say the super powered gravity gun from Half-Life 2.
You want to wreck some stuff?
Yeah. See, it's
make some waves on this planet.
yes, I do. You know, for the mundane things. You know, we have people talking about, you know, using the portals to get back and forth between work, like if I need to move
bring
something
work
like,
to you
yeah exactly yeah it's just it's one of those things that, yes, in that game you're primarily using it as a weapon, but I always enjoy when it's a tool that is appropriated as a weapon.
Mm-hmm. But doesn't the supercharged one just electrocute everything you pick up?
Well, no. Not so much that I saw. I only say the supercharged one because it can pick up cars and shit. Which, like, if you're looking for a parking space.
Yeah. That guy doesn't need that car.
No.
See ya.
Well, no, you don't have to toss it. You can just gingerly set it down in the
you're gonna toss it though.
Well, straight up. Oh no, did I check to see if anybody was in it? Not again. Dennis, what does Mikhail say?
Mikhail says, I'm with David. I'd pick the portal gun so I could, among other things, pee into the toilet from anywhere. Oh my God, I never thought of that.
God damn it.
In my apartment. And if out somewhere, always be able to poop at home.
Stop using magical science for your toilet stuff.
Well, okay, think of the consequences of that. You got to leave an open portal if you want to get back to where you were. So you're pooping right next to the people that you're hanging out with.
Yep.
And then he explains that he mentioned the first thing, the peeing, because we don't really heat our bathroom in the winter. Not because I'm super lazy, but because we live in some cavernous lost loft labyrinth. I would much rather it be a cavernous lost labyrinth. And then, you know, you'd be like the guardian gnome.
It'd be sweet.
Yeah.
That's a really practical use for it. Open a portal to like a tropical place in the wintertime or a cooler place in the summertime and just get free heating and cooling.
I'm not so much a snowbird as I am a snow nightcrawler.
Or if you do live in a cavernous loft labyrinth, the portal can allow you to get away from Bowie.
Ben, what does Carlos say?
Carlos says, the hookshot from the Legend of Zelda series is my favorite item by far. However, according to YouTube video, it would easily rip any human's arm off at first firing.
Yep.
It's a sacrifice you have to make. You gotta want it.
Yeah. David, what does Omgamoose say again?
Omgamoose adds, I just need to add something to my earlier comment. I know I mentioned Eve, but just to be clear, I'd like to fly around in a spaceship, not work in Excel while having a nice view outside the window.
Yeah. You want to be in the stories that people tell about Eve, not the actual experience of...
You know, it's funny. I read a review recently. It was comparing Eve to the Star Trek MMO. and pointing out that Eve, as I kind of said, the plot line is you're literally jacked into your ship and like feel it as an extension of your body. However, you spend the entirety of the game just like giving orders and sitting around.
Yeah.
Whereas in Star Trek, the whole point is you're just sitting in a ship giving it orders, but you actually pilot it.
Mm-hmm.
So just they kind of switched their gameplay.
Yeah, they done mixed it up. Yeah. Trent says, can I have the narrator from Bastion? Does he count as an object? On second thought, he might end up annoying the hell out of me. Kid trips over his own feet. Tries to play it off like no one saw it, but I saw it. We all saw it.
Yes!
You know, that's not so much the narrator from Bastion. I can't quite get that gravelly or that low. That's more Space Coyote voiced by Johnny Cash from The Simpsons. Find your soulmate, Homer. Dennis, what's Matt say?
Matt says he would like the Black Sheepinator from Ratchet and Clank going commando. That's a deep cut. And I think that's the upgraded version, because you have the Sheepinator, and I think I'm freestyling here. I'm going off the top of my head. It upgrades to the Black Sheepinator, which does what the Sheepinator does, but they also explode.
It turns cars into sheep. And then it throws them. Yeah.
Yes. That's right.
And Ben, what's Robin say?
Robin says, OMG, I so want the flower skirt from Dark Souls 2 DLC. Both stylish and comfortable, yet practical. It is the must-have ensemble this spring. Accessorize with a steel protection ring +1, offset with the mask of Ferris, and you are ready for whatever gank party you might be attending.
Robin is painting
style.
A picture there that is that is a very funny picture, but is probably totally alienating to somebody who is not up to the point where we're at in Bonfire Side Chat. So, but yes, those are both very amusing items. Yeah.
Fashion Souls.
Yeah. So let's see here. Ben, how about you? What's your object that you would like?
I think I would do the dubstep gun from Saints Row.
Oh, I've unlocked that. Skipping ahead, I've unlocked that. But
yeah,
I haven't
equip
equipped
it
yet.
As much. I mean,
do you want to know what it does?
I've got a pretty good idea.
The name doesn't leave much to the imagination.
I want to find out for myself.
That's weird. So you got it without unlocking it in a mission?
No, I unlocked it as part of the mission, but then you have to go back to back
so you've
to
seen
your
it
ship
in action.
To,
like, you know
to
what it does.
Equip it.
Oh.
No, not yet.
Huh.
Okay.
So I'm in for a treat.
Yes, it is fantastic. How about you, Dave?
I realistically probably ebony and ivory.
Oh, so. Nice.
The guns from Devil May Cry?
Yes. I like
never
1911s. And I would say the one I wish for most often is the star from Mario Kart. Particularly every time I'm stuck behind someone who's like thinks I'm going to be safe, therefore I'll go 10 miles under the speed limit. I'm always thinking, like, if I had the star, you would be like flying off the road right now.
10 dead, 14 injured in the I-75 massacre.
Well, I'm pretty sure if you have the star, I'm pretty sure that makes whatever you do legal. I think that's the law.
Oh, God, there were sparkles everywhere.
The music wouldn't stop.
As a side note, did any of you guys ever check out Geolaw? Was it Mario Kart 2?
I did. I didn't get it. Like I got it, but I couldn't get my way through the play. So,
oh, see, I just did a let's play of it, which I suppose is kind of cheating, but I feel like for what it is, it's literally a game you cannot lose.
Yeah.
So I feel like a let's play is kind of appropriate, but it's pretty, it's something else.
Yeah. Dennis, round us out with your preferred object from a video game.
Yeah, so I've got my pretentious one and I've got my real one.
Okay.
The pretentious one is I would want to bring in a med kit because then you could just heal anyone by picking it up.
By like rubbing it instantly. Against them?
Yeah. Yeah, just stroking it against their cheek. You are healed now. Yeah, so that would be fun and all that. But really, I want one of the air bikes from Jet Moto. Those things are so badass.
Whoa, that is like a deep, deep Sony fanboy cut.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, you know, that was one of the earlier games that I played, and they just looked so awesome.
Yeah.
And I think I went through a phase where I never actually owned a dirt bike, was into dirt bike racing for a little bit, and it was because of Jet Moto.
Hmm.
So yeah.
I want one of the snowboards from Cool Boarders.
Is that the one with the penguin board? Am I thinking of something else?
That is another game that was on one of my PlayStation Underground demo discs. Oh, did I get everybody with that? We got Ben, we got David.
Yes. Good.
Yeah. Thanks for coming out in force, guys. We're getting more and more participation off of this.
Mm-hmm. And strangely, like, we're getting more and more efficient getting through it.
Yeah. Yeah, and we didn't even, like, do what we promised we would do and rush through them all, so... Oh, man. Yeah, we can't punish you for too long. Like, we can't stay mad.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you want to participate in those, they generally go up on our Facebook group at facebook.com/thelevelpodcast on Tuesday afternoons. Dennis is kind enough to put those up there. And as long as you respond by about, you know, like 10 o'clock or so, it'll get in there. But yeah, thank you so much. Let's talk about the games we've been playing.
The grind.
It is time for The Grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past week or so. Can I lead you guys?
Yeah.
And played shit.
Nice.
I know, right? I went from having more games than I've ever talked about to having none. Like, I could talk about Crossy Road, maybe a little bit, but there's really not too much to say about it beyond it is Endless Frogger. It's what everybody's talking about. It's fun to unlock the random characters. And also, it is what I play when I'm stressed out. Right now, it has replaced desert golfing as my idle time game.
Plus, it's got the same cadence as Flappy Bird.
Yes, it is. Like, if you look at the font, the title is a direct homage to Flappy Bird, which one could see as a crass and mercenary move, and it may possibly be. But the whole product holds together so well that it's hard to hold that against it. Am I assuming too much that you guys know what this is? Have you seen the images and things?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dennis.
I was going to say I have, but you can explain it for David.
Yeah. So when I say Endless Frogger, basically what I mean is you start out as a chicken and you tap the screen to move forward. You swipe left to move left.
So when I say Endless Frogger, I mean not a frog at all.
Well, yeah, but no. You're crossing roads. It's Crossy Road. Like, there are cars. Sometimes there are logs and rivers. There are trains and such. And the screen just kind of scrolls, and you tap the button to move forward, try not to get hit. It's like the simplest possible thing. And it does some really nice stuff, taking advantage of the fact that it's on, you know, an internet-enabled device. You can see, like, a mark on the ground, which is your personal record. And if you have friends in Game Center, it'll show how far they have gotten. Which is a nice little touch. And the cool thing is, by playing, you get gold, which when you get 100 gold pieces, you can put it in the gumball machine to get a new character. So you start out with a chicken, and you're a chicken crossing a road. But sometimes you unlock who I just unlocked, which is like Basketball Guy, who's a little guy who is playing basketball, bouncing and dribbling as he runs across the road. And when he gets hit, the ball goes flying, right?
Oh, no.
Or, like, you play as Frankenstein, and it turns everything black and white like a Universal horror movie, et cetera, and on down the line like that. Like, stuff that doesn't make too huge of a gameplay impact, but has a cosmetic impact. And because it is a free-to-play game, you get these coins, but you can just pay a dollar to unlock whichever one of these guys you want, if that matters to you, which makes it like a, you know, a little bit like a Super Stickman Golf, insofar as that is just, I feel like giving money to this developer.
Have you actually bought one, or nope. Is that just conceptually it's good?
Conceptually, it is a good thing, which is mm-hmm. it's not like they're gating you or anything. Like you have full access to the game from the very start. And this is just them saying, oh, you probably want to play as this weird little robot guy. We don't want to stop you. Here's $1, you know, to have this. Right. It's mm-hmm. not like a Candy Crush kind of thing where it's designed specifically around you need to pay money to play this game.
Right? That's good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's really good, which is, as much as I can say. Really, I feel like everybody's been talking about it on shows, but that might just be because I listen to too many shows.
Is there a point of kind of forced failure, or you know, whenever you die, do you kind of know what you did wrong and how you could have done it differently?
I don't know what you mean by forced failure.
So like it gets moving so fast or gets so difficult with so many obstacles that you can't realistically keep going.
A Yeti comes out. No, I haven't.
Effing Yeti.
I like that Yeti. I like the way he moves. It's like way too quickly. I just imagine Yakety Sax play. Yakety Yeti. I haven't noticed too terrible of an escalation in like how nuts it gets as mm-hmm. you're going along. That said, I've not gotten terribly far. It's more of just like I'm playing this as I'm sorting my thoughts out. As opposed to playing it to really do well at it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. But other than that, like over the course of the past three weeks, I've put 75 hours into Morrowind and I am quit of it.
Yeah. I saw you tweet that you were done.
Yep. The first episode as of this recording hasn't aired, but I've played all of it that I need to play. And more importantly, I think all of it that I'm going to play.
Do you think you burnt yourself out on it, or do you think?
Oh, most assuredly.
Sure.
Yeah, but like, progress marches on. Assignment play marches on. I'm already behind schedule for the stuff that I'm supposed to play after that. So
Wait, what comes after that is Rock Band, right?
Well, yeah, but that's I have a whole system. Dennis.
Okay.
And we're going to be making some announcements very soon about what's happening with Bonfireside Chat in the interregnum between Dark Souls 2 and Bloodborne. And it's very exciting, but it's also going to be very demanding.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
remember this point, I think it was about a year ago, where you guys were like, let's never do another three-parter episode.
Yeah.
And then remember the point where you guys were like, well, maybe we should do another three-parter for Morrowind. Mm-hmm. So just remember that next year when you get to this point.
Yeah, and we're ready to play. I don't even know what could compare to this.
Oh man, I'm sure we could think of something.
Yeah, I'm sure anybody
World
who thought
of Warcraft,
well,
Skyrim,
all of it.
I think even Skyrim was like that. That would be an easier go of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, Skyrim's at least like you can fast travel. Well, you can legitimately fast travel, not take a tick.
Yes, you cannot ride the tick around. I don't know. It's really hard because it's such a podcaster problem kind of thing. Like, woe is me. I just in my off time here have put way too much into this, but like it's genuinely kept me from living a fulfilling life in the meantime. So it's like I love it. It's so good, but like I need to do something else. So. Mm. Oh, well. Who wants to go next?
I've got one.
Cool.
Which is Saints Row 4.
Hmm.
Which I totally stole from Cole, and he did not want me to take or tell me I should.
Yeah,
I
was like,
from him.
I was like, no, no. And he was like, you can't stop me.
Yeah, because I'm a hard ass. So I had some really interesting conversations with people on Twitter about the game. Just... It's hard to say what makes it so much worse than Saints Row the Third.
Okay.
And so it's like, I can't say that I don't like it. Like, it's fun to play. And it's a Saints Row game, so it's got all the humor you would expect. And overall, it's there's nothing overtly bad about it. It's just, I think this is actually true. It was designed as an expansion pack for Saints Row the Third before they decided to make it standalone.
Yeah.
And that shows in every possible way, especially since I'm coming to it so long after I played Saints Row the Third.
Yeah.
Where it just feels like it's not like all the systems of the game are meant to be built on top of the base systems, which just, if you're coming to the base systems for the first time or after a long break, makes them feel broken and irrelevant and confusing why they're even in there.
Yeah.
And then they do absolutely nothing to get you back up to speed on the characters, which I remembered McKenzie and I vaguely remembered Oleg or whatever his name was. And I remember nothing about anyone else. Mm-hmm. And they just expect you to know. There's no context for any of it. Not that you're playing it for a really in-depth story, but you know, the story really did drive a lot of the fun of the third one.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's just really tough when you're like, I don't remember who any of you guys are. I really don't care. You know, but I'm doing all my missions based around some interactions with them. That's tough, especially because Saints Row the Third, I feel like, did it so well. Like McKenzie was awesome in that, mm-hmm. in that Saints Row the Third game. It's just like, oh my God, what a great fun character. Mm-hmm. And in this game, it's just like, well, I feel like I'm getting some shell of that I just makes me want to go back and play Saints Row the Third. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately. Yeah. The sprint is nice, except that it's limited. So you can super sprint in the game, you can super sprint in the game, and kind of run as fast as any car, but it peters out on you after a bit. So if you have to go a really long distance, it's still better for you to get a car.
Yeah.
But the problem is getting into a car, and I don't know if the third was this way and I just didn't notice, is super annoying. Because mm-hmm. if you're sprinting up to a car, if you touch a car while you're sprinting, you like fire the car into the air and you can't use it. Walking up to it, you have to be like in just the right position and press the triangle button at just the right time. And then it plays like a 10-second video animating you getting into the car every single time.
So you don't use the action hijack where you literally just drop kick the guy through the front windshield?
I try, like you do that by holding down triangle, right?
Honestly, I don't think I remember getting in a car in this game.
I never did.
I'll be honest. I felt like my complaint with the game was that it made cars and shooting irrelevant.
Pretty much. Shooting, no. I think shooting is still fine.
I was fine with that because it replaced cars and shooting with superpowers and running and jumping real high and fast. It's like, give me a more interesting way to get around than driving, and I will be set.
Sprinting is a more interesting way to get around, but it's not a more fun way to get around.
Are you not using the super jumps and glides and stuff?
No, I am. It's just the sprint is limited. Like, you can sprint maybe 1,000 meters, and then it runs out, and you have to stop and wait for it to recharge.
That eventually goes away.
I've been taking the stamina
Antarctica. Antarctica.
Yeah. But taking those upgrades every time I get them, but it's super annoying early in the game.
Yeah.
Can you run up buildings?
My strategy was generally sprint up the side of the nearest building and then just glide to wherever you're going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't have the ability to run up buildings yet, and I don't have the ability to glide yet. I've just got super jump and run. Mm-hmm. So
keep playing the game then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep playing the game, and also like the story, for as much of a mess as it is, gets a lot better when you start getting into individual like loyalty missions.
I hope so. But at this point, like I don't know anyone's loyalty that I'm trying to get. And maybe I'm just not at the wrong place in it. But like, I feel like I've been turned loose in this huge world, and everything's kind of unlocked already because it's designed as an expansion pack. But there's nothing to do. Like, there's a ton of side missions, but they're all stuff that I've done before. Mm-hmm. They've somehow managed to add a whole bunch of alien shit in the world and make it feel more boring. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think
a lot of that has to do with the visuals, actually, the fact that they make it all cybery, for lack of a better word.
It feels so much more generic.
Yeah.
So, and like I said, there's nothing overtly bad about it. It's fun to play, but it makes me want to go play Saints Row the Third for the first time again.
where I ultimately came down on it, and this may just be the benefit of time, it is definitely a worse product than Saints Row the Third is, but I think that it's on the balance more fun to play. And that may just be for me personally, because I don't really care about the side missions that much in these games. I pretty much just do whatever's on the way if I don't want to see what's happening next in the main story. But I pretty much always want to see what's happening next in the main story.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm. I got to a point where I felt like I had to grind a little bit on side missions to get my health up so that I wasn't constantly dying.
Mm. Yeah.
So
there's a point where before you get some more of the superpowers, there some of the new enemy types are really, really annoying. So until you get some of the superpowers that let you lock down and like take care of some of those things, I found mm-hmm. the game got kind of like that.
Yeah. And I think that some it was put really well, which is you're given more powers, but you feel less powerful.
Yeah.
I think that's great. And it's probably because there isn't that progression there. It just kind of is like, hey, you got everything from the start, and here's a couple powers on top.
You totally don't have everything from the start, actually.
Really? Okay.
Not just to, like, fire off and contradict you on that thing you just said, because, like, your experience with it so far is, you know, definitely true, I think. It feels easy to bounce off of in those first couple hours, but I don't feel comfortable asking you to invest those extra hours for the promise of something that might be better, because that comes across as, well, you're just not getting it, man, which I don't believe is the case.
I think it's a fair criticism to level at the game, which is it's got a really droopy start.
But those opening sequences.
Yeah, I
love the 1950s, like, kind of Leave It to Beaver-esque sequence. Is that a spoiler?
Yeah.
I thought that was.
No, game is about a year old, and that's in the first 20 minutes. Let's not.
I'm gonna say is Fallout 3 did it better.
Well, yes, Fallout 3 does many things better. Ben, of 6 years.
Six. Yeah,
You're holding us to an impossible standard. Okay.
All right. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I'm really disappointed they didn't do a little bit more with the U.S. the president angle.
Yeah. Yeah, that is unfortunate.
Curing world hunger or curing cancer?
I went with world hunger.
Yeah. I went with that too, actually. Because if you fix.
I as well.
Yeah, if you fix cancer, it's a population problem.
I looked up on Wikipedia the death rates.
Yeah.
Because I'm that kind of OCD.
Huh. Oh man.
Hmm.
Yeah. No, it was a lot of good. There was a lot of good kind of. That was an opening scene. That felt true to Saints Row form. I think so. After the opening sequence, there's kind of a droopy beginning. Maybe it's a droopy middle. I don't know. But I've had a couple people tell me that it picks up. So yeah. I think I'll invest a little more time in it. See if it manages to catch my attention. And yeah, I don't regret the time I've spent with it. It just, like I said, it makes me wish I could play Saints Row the Third again for the first time.
Yeah. I had no interest in Gat Out of Hell, the kind of mm-hmm. the standalone expansion, until I saw, the musical trailer for it.
I have not seen that yet.
When I say musical, I mean, it is like a straight up musical theater scene, like back and forth. It's like 3 minutes. And it might be my favorite trailer I've seen for a game.
Nice. I'm a fan of musicals on the whole, so I'm gonna have to check it out.
It's pretty great. I'm gonna put that in the show notes. So
nice.
Huh.
So yeah, which voice do you go with?
Yeah, that's crucial that we know this.
Oh, it was like male one or something. It was not Nolan North.
God damn it.
See, I was disappointed. I was hoping Nolan North was just going to be him, like, every line as a different one of the characters he's played.
I like how he breaks, he doesn't break character, because that's the wrong word for it, but, like, he will just refer to himself as Nolan, or, like, it's in jokes about him, or just kind of, like, building up this weird, I don't know, like, this the
sounds
the,
like
the,
I should have chosen Nolan North.
Yeah, and it's not too late, because no choice you make in these games is permanent. So something about this the fact that the joke that they make, and obviously a huge foot they put forward, like that's a huge investment to get him in there, and to, well, obviously not because he pops up everywhere, but the point stands, it's a lot of effort that's the joke they lead with, makes me think that they're making this game for people like me, and by extension people like us, people who know who Nolan North is. Like, if there was any doubt about the direction that this was kind of going, and people get real sensitive or get, you know, like turned off by the fact like, oh, there's a dildo weapon or whatever, like, I'm not going to call it high art, and I'm not even going to say it appeals to everybody, because I can see how it doesn't go for, you know, for everybody, how you'd be turned off by that. Mm-hmm. But man, oh man, does that just like speak volumes about their priority, about who they're trying to talk to.
Yeah, I think the thing is, there's a gleefulness to it all, and just a sense of levity and fun to it, that I think forgives a lot of those potential sins. Whereas something like a Grand Theft Auto 5 or, you know, 4 or whatever, where it's all just kind of like dark sarcasm and satire, quote unquote, is, you know, that's where it gets a lot more annoying a lot quicker when they do things that are maybe a misstep. Whereas this one's just so happy go lucky that you can't get too mad at it.
Yeah. And they were the developers were pretty great about their response to Gamergate stuff, right? Or at least the criticism that was lobbied against it by Anita Sarkeesian, when she came out and said these are the things they did wrong, like Deep Silver, I think that's who developed this, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, yep. Came out and said, you know what, she's right, and we're working to get better.
Yeah.
It's like,
hey, that's what it's like to be an adult.
Yeah, that's like, hey, you know what, we thought about this thing and we took it into consideration, and maybe we could be like more inclusive. Awesome.
Yeah. Hey, look, they didn't burst into flame. Yeah. Doesn't hurt you.
Yeah.
But yeah, enough beating that straw man. No, I remember seeing that when it came out, and it was very refreshing.
Yeah. Was that all you played?
Yeah, I mean, I played a little more Frozen Synapse Prime. It continues to be really good.
Two or three extra turns in the past week?
What's that?
Two or three turns in the past week?
One and a half. I'm most of the way done planning it.
Okay, cool. a lot of angles considered.
I've gotten better at going quicker and cutting the options. I think the unfortunate thing is, as I've started playing the computer... Or as I've continued playing the computer in the main campaign, I've kind of learned a little bit, like kind of can metagame what the AI is doing and say, oh, okay, you know, like I know it's really going to only try to cover one point per turn and abuse that. Whereas when I first started out, like it was this endless possibility of wondering what the computer could do. So I feel like I'm learning my opponent a little bit, which makes me want to get into multiplayer.
Mm. Do you think that is a function of the AI being one note? Or do you think that is a function of kind of just learning what the best kind of most effective or optimal strategies are going to be?
It's employing a good strategy, but it's a one note strategy. So like, you know, what it's doing is effective and it makes sense. It's not doing anything that was ill conceived. It's just, it can't really surprise me anymore. Any surprise is like, okay, there are, you know, there's thing one or two that the AI could do in this situation. I mean, I guess it's one and it winds up being two. It's never like, oh, I hadn't thought of that strategy.
Mm-hmm. I'm impressed, but not surprised.
I'm guessing what the AI is doing. It doesn't feel like the AI is guessing what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So that's maybe where it breaks down. But it's still a phenomenal game, a great twist on the genre, and absolutely love it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hmm. David, what you been playing?
I've been playing Finals Week. So, yeah, no.
How's the AI?
I've been playing pretty much nothing, although the end's in sight, and I'll have Christmas break off, so I'm probably going to break down and pick up the PlayStation. So I should have many things next week, but this week, really, the only thing is... Fallen London has started their advent calendar.
Okay.
So lots of free stuff. So the only thing really noteworthy right now is I have a pail of something that the urchins insist is snow. But that's kind of a problem since we're underground and it doesn't rain. So, so I now have to decide, do I throw it out, burn in the fire, sleep with it under my pillow, or feed it to the cat?
Which one of those is the most likely to tell you what that stuff is?
Hard to say. To the cat.
Yeah.
Huh. No, it kind of does actually. What's it? It kind of does the whole kind of what you're talking with the 80 days thing, where you're not so much. It's not so much choose your own adventure, so much as is you kind of defining the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So really, it's kind of any of those could be equally valid. It all just depends on how irresponsible you want to be.
That's life, though.
Life is like a pair of scissors. Take it and run with it.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard. That's maybe not the worst, but pretty bad. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, if that's the worst thing you've ever heard, I've got some dead baby jokes to tell you.
I'd rather you didn't. Those make me sad.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Oh, man. Yeah, so what are you intending to, like, what's your plan for Christmas break? Like, when you get this PlayStation 4? Far Cry?
I don't know. Right now, my big thing, I'm trying to figure out which of the deals I'm going to go with.
Oh my gosh, the deals, you guys.
The deals. So, you know, I don't really care that much about Grand Theft Auto 5 or The Last of Us that much.
Okay.
So I know I'm deciding between whether I want to do Destiny or Far Cry 4, because both of them look like a lot of fun.
Did you like Far Cry 3?
Yes.
Then play Far Cry 4. See, it was so easy.
That sounds like it comes from somebody who knows what they're talking about.
Nope. Oh. Not me.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Although you liked, did you like Destiny?
Yeah, that's fine. Do you like Halo?
Yes.
Then you'll like Destiny.
I'm noticing a theme here. I love, have you seen the comparisons pointing out the degree to which Destiny is basically MMO Halo?
Isn't that basically what it says on the back of the box? I'm sorry,
I feel like their lawyers will force them to say no. But I mean, the degree to which it's like you're fighting two alien factions, the advanced laser people and the space zombies.
Right. But still, Halo MMO, that just seems like a pointless thing to write an article about, because that's explicitly what it is. Like, if that's out there, I'm kind of angry, because that just sounds like clickbait to me. You'll never believe what this game is, what it's been marketed as.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, was it marketed as that?
What?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it could not be.
Yes.
That's fair enough. It is, yeah, that is kind of what they, yeah.
What they went for. So Ben, why don't you round us out?
So I've continued playing Dragon Age Inquisition, actually doing more missions now and not just side quests. It's not bad.
Wow. That is the most damning, the most faintest praise I've ever heard.
BioWare RPG.
Yeah.
If you've played the other ones, you know, you kind of know how it goes. The upgrade system's the same. I'm just now finally getting to, like, new content or, like, new upgrade tracks that weren't in the previous games. So
okay.
It's, like, just now getting interesting. Some of, like, the canon missions are kind of interesting that I've hit. or at least more so than the side quests.
Canon, do you mean like main quest mission, like critical path? Okay.
Yep.
Dang it. Yeah. I was hoping you meant literally like shooting things from a cannon.
It's like the Donkey Kong level. Yeah. You jump into barrels, they shoot you around. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I've probably only put in maybe 4 or 6 hours this last week. But yeah, I don't know. It just seems like a super long game. So
yeah, it seems like it to me too.
I haven't even got to the middle of the game yet because I don't think I've unlocked any sort of specialization class.
Right.
So
yeah. So
yeah.
How's the party dynamic?
By
which I mean specifically, my favorite parts of Dragon Age and also, you know, Mass Effect are everything that happens in the ship or like around town, talking to them and like making choices and trying to, if I'm being honest, make everybody like me. And just kind of like really talking to these people and digging into their stories. I think that's really what BioWare does exceptionally well, the romance stuff aside. Like, is there meat on those bones? Because it from the outside, it appears that that's the case, but I know that you are familiar enough with them, at least since Knights of the Old Republic, that you would be able to make that call.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends. And this game, I haven't really been digging into that as too much. Like, I was all about that in the Coder 1 and Coder 2, but here I'm just trying to get to the missions. So yep. I'll like listen to the interactions they have when they're in my party running around, and like those are on point. And those feel like realistic, but I haven't really spent a lot of time romancing the companions or anything, so yeah. haven't explored that aspect of the game.
Well, it's there if you want it. So are you playing it more like a tactical RPG? Like, how much are you messing with like the overhead planning view? Because that looks pretty robust as well.
I haven't really used that at all, actually. I haven't really found a need for it. And I don't know. Most of the AI does what they need to do, and not terribly. Basically, I mean, the mage I have in my party, I unlocked their healing ability to resurrect people when they die.
Yeah.
And they pretty much automatically use that whenever someone goes down, so that's good. And I have one of each class. So I have a rogue and I have a fighter. And so everybody does their job the way they should. And I haven't had any bad experiences with it. The only time I haven't been able to like win a battle is when I've like obviously under leveled. And so I'll just typically do other missions and then come back later. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Was Dragon Age the one, at least in the previous ones, where there's kind of almost a simple programming system for how your kind of a spread flowchart thing for how your allies reacted?
Yeah, it's like you basically have like a switch statement and of like what they should look out to do. And then in this one, I think it's a little bit different from the previous one, maybe. But this one, you can control when they take potions and then basically whether they're set to defend a person in the party or lead an attack on their own. Yeah, I haven't explored it as much, but yeah.
You were able to do that before. It's basically the same as the Gambit system from Final Fantasy XII. Like, setting basic logic for how your party responds to different kind of conditions, right?
Yeah.
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 Huh.
So, one thing that has bothered me, it's called Dragon Age Inquisition. Like, is there a point where you're like, you know, torturing people for having heretical religious views or like hunting down witches or anything like that?
No, Inquisition's just the name of like the group that you're a part of, but there has not been any murdering or ousting of cultures. So
they do not inquisit?
It is a new kind of Inquisition.
so
it's a very inquisitive Inquisition, is what we're saying.
Yeah. It's not your grandma's Inquisition.
In the fiction of Dragon Age, there is an ongoing kind of tension and conflict between the chantry, which is kind of the equivalent of the Christian church, and their Templars versus mages, because mages pretty much always, by virtue of practicing their magic, open themselves up for demonic possession. And then there's also this whole kind of secondary dangerous kind of subclass of magic called blood magic, which mm-hmm. basically turns people into necromancers of the living, essentially. And so the idea is that the mages are always under the thumb of the chantry, except in this case, they're trying to gain power and, you know, be treated like humans and not like horrible threats. And the, you know, the Inquisition, at least as far as I understand it, and Ben, this is probably where it changes, at least in Dragon Age 2, like that was the primary conflict, was between mages and this chantry, right? Is that still the case?
Yeah, I mean, that's still going on. And then in the second one, on top of that, there was also like the Canary, right?
Yeah.
But I don't even know what they represent as far as like religion goes, but.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. It's like a tribal, yeah, I don't know.
I feel like we're starting to get into things with too many apostrophes in their name to matter.
Yeah, it's fantasy naming syndrome, too many Ys.
So is these settings and these conflicts generally well handled? I mean, is it interesting, or is it just the generic, like, you know, very kind of flat characters, good versus evil type of thing?
They bring up some interesting choice situations. I won't say what they are, but
yeah,
they're interesting.
They handle morality in a different way than you would expect it to be handled. Mm-hmm. You know, like it is, at least in the past of the series, it's been more nuanced insofar as there's not really a good or evil alignment meter. It's more who in your party likes you versus who doesn't. And you can kind of get a sense for where you stand based on the kind of the company that you keep, right?
Interesting.
Does that still hold true? I'm making these statements based on old information.
No, I mean, that's valid. I'm thinking also in terms of like kind of, I guess, like Mass Effect, where they'll put you in situations where you have to make a choice. And yeah, and it's not always like an easy choice. So like it'd be a situation where making the choice that you want to make has a cost associated with it, I guess.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. They have some interesting choices, but again, I'm only making these observations being like maybe a fourth or a third through the game. So I don't know.
Yeah. Huh? I may dig into that over the, over my Christmas work lull.
Yeah.
Yeah. Neat. Well, I'll be excited to hear what else you have to say about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's wrap it up.
Sounds good.
The credit. Thank you so much for listening to level number 86. So we have two pieces of housekeeping to attend to, or more accurately, three. Here we go. Let's break them down.
Two is almost like three.
Yeah, just about. Yeah. Yes. So as we mentioned at the beginning of the episode, we're holding a title of the year contest. We're not quite sure what that looks like, but you can find out about it on Facebook. There's going to be a post there with a poll. You can vote for your favorite title of the year for fun. Yes.
Fun question mark.
Yes.
Not to be confused with the band fun, exclamation point.
No, it's fun, period. It's all lowercase fun, then dot.
Back when they were a high school band, they were fun, exclamation point.
They were a glee club. But anyway, in addition to that, we also have the Temple of Osiris giveaway. Ben, can you tell them what they ought to do to win that?
Yes. To get this, first, only enter if you have a Steam account, because it's only for computer. But also, to receive it, be the first person to post on Facebook on the episode link your feelings about John Voight, positive or negative.
We want to get a dialogue going.
Your post will be sent to John Voight, so just keep that in mind.
we have a direct line.
Be tactful.
Yeah, I mean,
but be honest.
He can take some criticism as long as he feels it's coming from a good place.
Yeah.
he's not an unreasonable man.
If your comment makes John Voight cry, we'll get you another game.
Yeah. Of equal or lesser value than free.
Of equal or lesser value than John Voight, which is not very much value.
Oh,
man.
Sorry, John Voight, longtime listener.
our number one, like, supporter.
Early adopter of the show.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, hey, guys. New video game podcast. Let me check this out. All of a sudden, making him cry. Oh, man. I have no bad. Okay, I'm not going to taint the results any further by saying that I harbor no particular ill will toward John Voight, but and also the third one, and I'm kind of making a judgment call on this. Let's say there's not going to be an episode on the 26th.
Yeah, I think
because of, you know, Christmas and all.
Yeah.
That's me making an executive decision to let you guys off the hook so you can, you know, be with your families and such.
Christmas it up.
Yeah.
But the week after that, we should do a live podcast. Oh. Just saying.
Oh, you're going to be in town?
I am.
Awesome. Yeah.
Sweet. Sounds
like I'm going to be in town that weekend too.
All right.
Nice. Cool. Let's plan off the air, unlike the last time we did this, in which case I accidentally left a great deal of us talking about our plans in the initial edit, and I had to go in and take it out.
Yeah. So something that is pertinent to being on the air, we just kind of quietly crept past 100 fans on Facebook, or 100 likes on Facebook. So that is freaking phenomenal.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone who liked us anew, and everyone who liked us an old.
Yeah.
In ye olden times.
Everybody who just recently liked us, we're so happy to have you here. And everybody who has liked us in times past, we appreciate your support.
Make new friends, but keep the old.
I can't sanction this one bit.
No, okay.
At all, like this.
Yeah, no. John Voight really hates Christmas music too. Yeah. So we don't want to alienate our base.
I love the idea of John Voight being our base.
John Voight is our rock, really, our emotional. In the storm.
we really rely on his inner strength. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man, he props us up when there is only one set of footprints leading to the microphone. Man, I like how he went from being "who is that" in our offline conversation to all of a sudden being some kind of deity, some kind of man god of screen and film. Oh man, screen and stage.
When they asked how Voightism started,
yeah.
This is ground zero.
I think that's just about all of the business. You know the admin stuff. As we mentioned at the beginning, there's that tip jar thing. We already said the Facebook. And ratings and reviews always help us out, if possible. I want to let you guys off the hook without too much admin. You've listened to enough of us joking about John Voight already. So, I've been Cole Ross, at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I've been Dennis Furia, at D Furia on Twitter.
I am still David Moneysmith at Moneysmith777 on the Twitter.
I am Ben Merkel at Merkelizer on the Twitter.
And this episode really tied the relationship together. I think after the beginning of the year, I'm going to look at getting you guys microphones.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got a pretty nice one right now, I think.
Yeah. I'm thinking that you're going to be up to speed. I have a line on some reasonably priced. Oh, I even forget what model is suggested.
Anytime someone says they have a line on something, it makes me think that we're at the beginning of a heist movie.
Yeah. Well, I just it's. you know,
I know a guy who knows a guy. All yeah, right?
you guys know this. I speak in an inexplicably jive-y patois of my own of my own device. So
some combination of 70s jive, old English, and like spelling bee champion.